then we quickly go through that exercise. And if we do that, we also allow time for members to begin. I have few opportunities before me. But before I go through all of the different aspects, to just quickly do that, I will start by introducing myself, allow members who are here to introduce themselves, all the couple of staff from Parliament to do that. We have also interested bodies to appear here. They are here, they should also introduce themselves. But before we do that, then we hand over to the department to introduce themselves, then we can then open it for other interested bodies who are here. My name is Chris Nadi. I'm the chairperson of the Village Council on Women, Children and People with Disabilities, and I come from Canberra.
Morning, everyone. My name is Daryl Worth. I'm a member of this select committee, Women, Children and Persons, People with Disabilities, and I'm from the Free State Council.
I'm
Hi, I'm Vernon and I'm from PMG and just going to be recording everything that's happening in the meeting.
Hello, my name is Courtney and I'm an intern at from the Gender Health Justice Research Unit.
You are?
Intern and I'm representing the Gender Health and Justice Research Unit at the Family TV.
My name's Kate and I'm here with Ali. We're both interns at the Women's Legal Centre.
We're not into this meeting with yourselves for the first time. The first time when we're here, we're not talking about the presentation. And the second one is presenting as well. Actually, we're not anything that we have as a presentation. So then we said we could go there and we have that we structure your presentation in a particularly, I hope you'll be able to talk to Beth. We're going to give you an opportunity to present. Please relax, don't worry. Use this opportunity to share with the world what is it that you are doing in terms of domestic violence. You said that KPMG is yes. So whatever that you say, you should know that it's not for the people as but it's for the public out there. So I'm approaching this opportunity to present. I don't know if you're going to use slides or we have hard copies with everybody has. As we present, prepare us to relevant documents so that we are able to follow the presentation. Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Marie. Good morning once more, Honorable members and colleagues. Unfortunately, I understand that this system is not working, so let me I'll just present from the heart. Like I already indicated from the beginning, I am responsible for the investigation of gender-based violence. To get into the presentation, I'll start with the first one.
Okay. Just to make our life easier, just say the first one is this one, and we can all follow it.
The first one is the heading.
What is the heading? Select Committee on Women,
Crime Investigation. Crime Investigation. Crime Investigation.
Crime Investigation.
Crime Investigation. Then the heading is Crime Investigation. I'll present on the part of the investigation side. From there, I'll hand over to my colleague on my right, who says, the general manager to continue. And thereafter, on training general, then I will present on that one. Can I continue?
That we hire people who do not have capacity. You understand?
it's so bad to us that we are people who have no capacity. It means we don't have. It sends a lot of message, you know, that people that we and were entrusted with the task of delivering on our own, they don't take the government to them. It says that. It simply says that. You are undermining us. You can't do that. Something in future, if you are called to go into that. And don't ever say, it's issues of women and children, therefore. These are serious issues that are impacting on the lives of the people. And remember, that's a serious outcry about the police. Look, we're very lenient with the person who came here the previous time, who came to present. Because of that, she was just a mess. She didn't know anything, you know, and the presentation itself. And we felt very bad. But we were not harsh on her because we said, we'll give you a chance. We know that the issues of domestic violence and all that is just a new basis. But we want you also to show some commitment. So these are small mistakes that, you know, to us can be interpreted in many ways. So,
Mohamed? I hear you reducing it to small mistakes. It is not a small mistake.
No.
It is not a small mistake that the last time when they were here, you were sent back to go and structure something that will make sense to us. Here they come again today. The first sentence, we haven't even gone into the body of the whole thing. The first sentence, it's just a mess. You don't know what is this person trying to say here. And this is the first sentence that must actually give you the lead into the body of the presentation. Now, if the first sentence throws you out, what are you going to understand here? I don't think there's any really thing that we can, and it cannot be corrected here, Chair. It cannot be corrected here. Captain, I hear she talked about the captain. The captain is just in oblivion. I don't know what's happening with him, whether he understands what is happening there. But the point is, the captain, there is so much outcry about the inefficiency of the police, the recklessness of the police. This is actually what the people are crying for. What is reflected here is it demonstrates the cry of the people. I really don't know. And I think the chair is correct. I fully support what she said, that you are actually taking us as a bunch of school little children who don't understand anything. You can come with anything, no matter how it is being prepared, how it sounds, what is the idea behind the whole thing. You just take it like that. But the point is, I am not going to allow that this can be corrected here. It cannot be corrected here. It simply means whoever, all of the issues that how many, nobody read this thing after being prepared. Nobody read it. Because you were the first people to have detected this mistake. We have the following commission, which is having a very serious matter, which actually dropped the name of our country from the international image to where it is today because of the Marikana issue. And you can see what is going on there if you people are really, you know, conscious to follow these issues. You can see what is happening there. It's a problem. The defense of the working people have also withdrawn from the commission. Why? Because of certain issues. And all that started with the police. That if not been for the police to open fire on the people, had come with some method of dealing with the situation, we could not be facing this situation. And the name of South Africa, we are just from America about a month ago. The Americans speak very, 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 you know,
harshly.
Not harshly, no. No, they praise South Africa. They say South Africa is actually impacted in the thinking of the leadership of America because of our approach. But now if that these things are being, which according to the rating agencies, Moody, Standard and Poor, they rate the countries. That it's economic now. I might not be missing issues, but that is how you rate it because of my time. Investors, they are very sensitive.
Okay then, let's start with let's take our experience. Because now if you return the same message, it's coming over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start then. I'll hand over to the
engineer. My apology for this connection. Thank you. The question is, how is the SAPS budgeted for the safety service in regards to domestic violence and sexual offenses? The detective division in the authorities and the detective service in the provinces receives an annual budget for investigation of all crimes. Therefore, a specific figure cannot be given for a specific crime, as one case docket might take more time and resources to police than another. Question number two, how has the SAPS budgeted for detective service in regards to the follow-up services for the domestic violence cases and sexual offences cases respectively? Response, it is not clear as what it meant by follow-up services. SAPS deals with the response to the crime, registering the case and providing assistance and information to the victim and the investigation of the case. SAPS contacts victim for assistance not provided by SAPS, for example, in respect of trauma counseling and legal advice. The SAPS does not provide and hence budget for services like trauma counseling, legal or medical assistance for victims of domestic violence or sexual offense. The other question, how many specialized detectives have been trained to date and at which stations have been based? As on the 31st of March in 2013, about 933 SPS members registered with violence, child protection and sexual offenses members were trained on sexual offenses course for investigating officers, and 1,371 on the SPS course itself. These members are based at the 876 SPS unit servicing, serving all 1,135 police stations. Which stations do not have access to the specialized detectives? All stations have access to the specialized detectives. The SPS units are aligned to the cluster model in 176 units that are servicing 1,135 police stations. Distributions of the SPS units. All 9 provinces have this unit. Eastern Cape has 27 units for 194 police stations. And then Free State has 18 SPS units with 110 stations. Gauteng Province, 22 units servicing 141 police stations. KwaZulu-Natal, 25 units servicing 184 police stations. Limpopo has 16 units servicing 97 police stations. Mpumalanga, 15 units, 86 police stations. Northern Cape, 16 units, 91 police stations. Northwest, 12 units, 82 police stations. Western Cape, 25 units, 150 police stations. In total, units 176 and police station 1,135. I will now hand over to the Brigadier Philomela to continue on the side of the victim friendly.
So, Philomela, thank you. I should try to zoom in to important questions, but if we can continue the way the best presenter has done, we have been told like this is a really jumbo talk. We shall try and just talk to the issues that we think that they are important.
The question here was about the budget for the renovation of the renovation and the restructuring of the station to accommodate the victims of domestic violence in the area. And you know, this country said that the FATF doesn't refer to the trauma ministry, it refers to the victim friendly group. And this victim friendly group is just a room. One room or two rooms, the reception room as well as a room for taking the statement in private. And as such, we have 873 victim facing rooms, whereas the stations are 1,135. And we have developed a blueprint. Each station that is being built presently, it's built with a VFR, the victim friendly room. And then those stations which were not built with a VFR, we have developed a multi plan, a 3-year multi plan. And presently, I think I'm getting very fast because of I think as I've indicated, it's 873, but those patients which doesn't work VFR, we have budgeted 11 million for this financial year to build 22 to 30 rooms at other police stations which doesn't have rooms. And it will be a plan, it's a multi-year plan for 3 years. By the end of 2015, and then we have make sure that all stations have victim friendly rooms. And slide number 6. This 870.
This is a matter of clarity. Just understanding on this. FCS units, as I understand it, the Family Violence Child Protection and Sexual Offences units. Victim friendly rooms, that's something different, but if you have a look at this, it says distribution of FCS units. Free State, for the property, that's why I asked. It says units 18. But if you have a look on this document here, which is headed National Summary of Victim Friendly Rooms, there it says FCS units, Free State 0. But it says FCS units. It does not say victim friendly rooms. I'm sorry, I'm just.
This is the summary of the victim friendly rooms and not the summary of the FCS units. FCS units are the detective units which deals with which specializes.
It's
a special unit.
Yes, but why does it say in here FCS units?
As we say, it's a summary of how this unit, the victim friendly rooms, are placed, where they are placed. All these 873 victim friendly rooms. Others are at the stations, others are at the FCS units, others are at the railway contract points, and others are only contracted. If we can through this slide, I think maybe slide number 6, it explains that here we are talking about the room and not the unit. 176 FCS, these are detective units, specialized detective units. I don't know whether I will.
Now I understand that this is why they call it XPS, not in if they are rooms, why they don't call them, what is that other terminology that they use, they call these for rooms, the VFRs. Why don't they say VFRs, it says?
I think that this table is trying to indicate where the VFRs are being.
Yeah.
The VFRs are always saying that the XPS units are not always at the same station. They are there, but they have access to them, but they're not always at the same station.
slide number 11, administration, monitoring and documentation. How does the PPS plan to ensure that the administrative nature and the monitoring of genetic violence registers and documentation in relation to sexual offences will be effective and sufficient? The FAPS provides training of personnel during basic and intensive training, and this police can further undertake on-job training. The FAPS sessions and cluster management framework was implemented as a performance management tool and provides for such level inspection and supervision by commanders at station and cluster level. And also the FAPS inspectorate the operational division like in detectives as well as police. They conduct the inspection at station to monitor whether they to monitor the implementation of this act, the domestic violence as well as the sexual offences act, and also to address the deviations for which occur at the station as a result of the monitoring. Question 9, act number 12. Act number 12 is the general thing.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. As you can see, that most of our questions, presentations are based on questions that we received from the cabinet. It's as a result of the response on those particular questions that we gave the presentation. That's why every time we go back to say this question, then this is the response. From division training, how much has SEPS budgeted for training around domestic violence act for staff members in the service? The amount that was budgeted for here is 3.8 million for in-service training, but in addition to this, we do also have basic training where we train new entrants in the organization around issues related to domestic violence. There was a request for a breakdown in terms of staff memberships and province. It's clear in the presentation for the January 2012 intake, the breakdown per province, gender, the totaling to 4,989. Those were new members who are in basic training. But the focus again was members who are already enlisted in the service. Again, the breakdown for 2013 in terms of province as well as gender breakdown amounting to 4,281. Then the question was how many members who are new do we intend to train? That is now for the 2013 intake. Members will remember that we only took 1,231 new entrants, new members, new police act members. And in terms of province that we got from the provinces, as well as the genders, they amounted to 1,231. Those are new entrants in the service this financial year 2018. Then how many existing staff members for this financial year do we intend to train? We've got 10,500 members all over the 9 provinces that we intended to train in domestic violence. The question was, which staff members will be trained? We indicated that based on the skills plan that we get from the provinces, after they've done a training need analysis, where they highlighted that there are members that need to be trained, we focus on those particular members that we are going to train. The stations that are going to receive training, when they do it, as a skills audit, the training need analysis, they highlight the members who need training in a particular station. Then we zoom into those particular members, budget for them, and ensure that training takes place around the issue of domestic violence. The other question was the duration of the course. The course is 5 days. It moved from a workshop after we got a discussion from the portfolio committee, and then it was a 3-day, then they indicated that the period must be revised. It's now a 5-day program. The question that follows is how often is refresher training conducted? We indicated that the courses are presented continuously to members who are nominated according to the need. There's a refresher course that is taking place in other areas like crime management, statement taking, to sharpen their skills around the issues of investigation. It's not only limited to domestic violence, but it goes further than that. In terms of the stations that would receive training, the very same approach, the identified needs during the skills audit will indicate to us which station need training in this particular field of domestic violence. slide number 16, how much has the trust budgeted for training around the social offences act? We indicated that it is being done through in-service training. We've got three courses that we focus on that. The first one is the first responder to sexual offences learning program. This is a one-week program to visible policing members, members who are working in the CSC. Then we've got the sexual offences courses for investigating officers. It's an introductory course, a two-week program for detectives. Then we've got the longer course and the FCS course, which is being provided to the members who are actually working within the FCS environment. The amount that we budgeted for this financial year was 10.9 million for the financial year 2013. Slide number 17, how many staff members by sex and province have been trained? We indicated for 2012 intake, the new air science in basic training, it was 4,939. In in-service training for the financial year 2012-2013, the total amount of members that we trained in the FCS course it was 247. In the first responder to sexual offences, the one that is aimed at members working in the CSC, the one-week program, it was 1,259. And in the sexual offences course for investigating officers, 901. And in the FCS and Child Protection Unit, it was 19. The whole total was 2,424. FA province, gender, statistics broken down accordingly. Slide number 18, how many new staff members will be trained for this intake? The intake is again 1,231. With two questions as they were posed to us, one can see that still some issues are being repeated as per advice from our principals. When we get questions from Parliament, we respond to it just as it is without changing anything. How many existing staff members will be trained? The members who will be trained, 15,400 for the provisioning plan 2013-2014. When we look at the members that will be trained again, the response is still the same. When we look at the training need analysis, the skills audit, as well as the station where we focus where there's a need for training in those particular members. Here's the duration of the courses I've already indicated. The first responder, 5 days, sexual offences for investigators, 2 weeks, and family violence for members in the FCS is a four-week program. How often is refresher training conducted? Trained members are nominated for continual development and other short interventions in related professions such as hygiene management, treatment taking, ID parade, pointing out, etc. The stations, again, are based on the analysis of the needs on the particular stations. The question was, will the training differentiate between interventions with children and with women? We indicated that all the training courses related to sexual offences deal specifically with procedures regarding women and children. And so far as slide number 21 is concerned, detail on the content of the training related to domestic violence learning program. Indicated that the domestic violence training program is the primary training intervention in this field and is aimed to ensure compliance with the Act, regulation and national instruction to develop the necessary skills to enable members to deal with incidents of domestic violence in a sensitive, professional and efficient manner, to improve the service rendered to victims of domestic violence, and to explain the social context and complex nature of domestic violence and explain the practical skills and assistance required in dealing with the victims and victim support. The domestic violence training program was included in the such in-service training program as well as the basic training program since 2004. What this means is that each and every new trainee who enlists in the police is trained around issues of domestic violence. Such trainers also still presented the domestic violence workshop, which is a shorter version giving just an overview, but the domestic violence is complemented by victim empowerment learning program, which Brigadier Silimela has articulated on, a 3-day course that aims to teach the learners how to the concept of victim empowerment must be integrated into routine police practices and procedures the standards and guidelines to establish and manage victim empowerment initiatives in the search, the minimum standards with regard to services to the victim of crime and violence, as well as to how to ensure accountability and control at all levels. The detail on the content of the training related to sexual offences. The training around sexual offences is done through the following in-service training intervention. That is, the first responder to sexual offences, the sexual offences course for investigating officer, as well as the SES program, which is 4 weeks. Sexual offences are also covered in learning area 2 of the basic training curriculum. As I indicated, all the trainees who undergo basic training, they also get an overview insofar as the sexual offences investigations and how to attend to the victims of crime is concerned. Is the training accredited? All the sub-training courses are accredited and strictly quality assured internally by our ETD standard component. Only our full qualifications are accredited externally. Now that question was, does the training differentiate between intervention with children and adults? The response was that all the training courses related to domestic violence and sexual offences contains specific reference to procedures regarding children. How much has the staff budgeted for education around the prevention of sexual offences for the public? Here we indicated that the staff at national level budgeted an amount of 2 million to print information and education material in all official languages focusing on domestic violence, sexual offences, child justice, child protection, as well as victim empowerment. This information material will mostly be used to educate and inform the public of their rights, but also provide for internal communication, for example, information material like posters that are placed in police stations, also reminding police members of their obligations. Staff pamphlets on domestic violence and sexual offences address both the rights of the victims and prevention of these crimes. A further 2.5 million has been budgeted for communication and education campaigns and events to raise awareness on violence against women and children, but not limited only to sexual offences and domestic violence. In the financial year 2012-2013, the SAPS budgeted 1.5 million for training facilities currently under construction to improve the police personnel capabilities insofar as training is concerned. For both student and in-service training, how will new facilities improve the current training received regarding domestic violence and sexual offences? The response therefore was that the training courses related to domestic violence and sexual offences require standard training facilities and equipment. Any improvement in our facility will enhance the learning environment for all the training. Another question was, for both student and in-service training, how is the efficacy of such training assessed? We assess in the following manner. Learner reaction and content absorption is tested after each intervention. Feedback and performance reports from the responsible operational divisions are analyzed. Learning programs are reviewed and on scheduled time frames, as well as selective impact studies undertaken by our component ETD standard within division HRD or training. The question was posed, how much has the staff budgeted for database to adequately keep track of victims of domestic violence, and how much has the staff again budgeted to adequately keep track of victims of sexual offences? We indicated that we use an integrated system. SAPS alone does not have a database to keep track of victims of domestic violence or sexual offences. SAPS uses the crime administration system to register criminal charges involving domestic violence. The case allows for tracking of such cases. Under general, the question was how much has staff budgeted towards the purchasing of vehicles specifically needed towards policing domestic violence and sexual offences. We broke it down insofar as SES units are concerned, and in Mpumalanga they needed 3 vehicles with a budget of 3.2 million. Free State, they shortage 11 vehicles, 4.3 million. Northwest, shortage of 5 vehicles, 891,484.92. Eastern Cape, 11 vehicle shortage, 1.8 million budgeted accordingly. The question, where will the delivery of such vehicles be prioritized? The response to that is that the delivery of the vehicles will be made at the vehicle warehouse in each province for capturing on the past system, mapping blue light, etc. But obviously the prioritization again will focus on the prevalence of those particular crimes that are being committed in particular station areas and provinces. The question was clarified the role that forensic social workers would play with regard to policing gender-based violence crimes as mentioned by the Minister of Police in his budget speech. We indicated that forensic social workers assist in the investigation of cases involving children, and mainly in cases where the child is the victim of a sexual offense. The forensic social worker assists the investigating officer when he or she cannot communicate effectively with the child to take detailed statement or obtain enough information relating to the alleged crime. The forensic social worker will conduct interviews with the child victim using age appropriation techniques in order to obtain accurate information to establish facts or evidence that can be used in a court of law. The forensic social worker will also assist in the investigation by providing court reports in order to assist the investigative and legal process and deliver expert testimony in the criminal court matter. This is pertaining to what the Minister of Police said in the budget speech. The question was information on plans to roll out forensic social workers in 2018-2012. There are currently 72 forensic social workers in the country. An additional 59 vacant posts of forensic social workers must be filled according to the approved resource allocation guide of the SAC. The follow-up question was, what costs are involved in doing this? The response was that it is not possible to provide an accurate cost at this stage. The training cost, for instance, can only be determined by the type of training and the cost after the posts were advertised and the forensic social workers appointed. The type of training and the cost involved must be determined according to our appointed social workers' level of qualification and training. There are no internal training courses for forensic social workers within the government police service. In instances where the sheriff of the court cannot serve protection orders, such has a duty to serve such protection orders of perpetrators of domestic violence. The question was, what has SAPS budgeted in terms of capacity and logistics to strengthen the capacity to serve protection orders? The response was that the level of protection orders is dealt by SAPS police stations as part of their operational responsibility, and there is no actual costs that are being incurred. Just like the attaining of complaints, domestic violence put an obligation of SAPS to ensure that this protection order is there. The question was, how much has SAPS budgeted for research into the nature and effect of domestic and sexual violence in South Africa? The response was that SAPS has not currently dedicated any capacity for research, but has conducted a need analysis for research to be conducted to inform decisions in regard to the establishment of that research capacity. Domestic violence and sexual offences were among the research topics identified. The budget requirements will be determined as part of the process to establish research capacity in the South African community. The last question, is there any other expense incurred by SAPS for the implementation of the Domestic Violence Act and the Sexual Offences Act? The police does not have a separate budget for the implementation of the Act. As indicated previously, it's part and parcel of the operational duties of the police to ensure that these acts are being implemented, and there's no specific budget that is set aside for this. I think that is the end. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much.
I was asking general, these are the answers of questions that we have, but can you indicate as to, at the end of all this exercise, what impression do you get? What are the results actually? Are the results improving? Is there any progress? You know, something that can give you now a round up image of how we call this exercise.
Okay, thank you. I must indicate that
crimes against women and children is also the priority of the National Commissioner. There are stations, Honorable Chairperson, where members have been trained, but it's not in all the stations where you will find that they do exactly what is expected of them. But I must indicate, with the overemphasis around the issues of domestic violence, the child justice, and sexual offences, there is great improvement from our side. Unfortunately, I'm going to be kind of subjective because I'm within the organization. I can't give you details from outside. But that is my view. The division, human resource development or training, is working hand in hand with the division inspectorate, where they identify certain gaps where there's a need for development, and division training comes in to fill up those areas where there's a need for development. But there are isolated cases that one reads about in the newspapers from time to time.
Thanks, Jesus. My question is, what surety do we have with regard to domestic violence registers at this station, sexual offense registers? My impression is we go, because we're the National Council of Provinces, we go on a lot of oversight visits. And we went to, I think it was KZN, and I'm not on that portfolio, we happened to visit two or three police stations, and there was no separate register for domestic violence, no register. They just had one list there, and all offences were put down there, which makes it very difficult to ascertain where, A, the offences are taking place, domestic violence, you know, the hotspots, so to say, and also to keep abreast with what is actually going on with domestic violence. And I mean, this was just haphazardly two PC sessions, and they just said no, that's all included in one register. So they do not keep a separate register. What is your comment to that?
Honourable Chairperson, I must indicate that the National Instruction on Domestic Violence makes it an obligation for a police station to have two registers. The first register is the normal members of the community when they report a domestic violence case. The second register is where members themselves are involved in the domestic violence case. As I've indicated, that is what the National Instruction says, and that is what should be at various police stations. But as honorable member has indicated, that there are two police stations that we visited that was not found. As far as I'm concerned, they must be there for the members and for the community to register at each and every police station.
As CS units were established to provide a full service package to victims of family violence, child protection, and sexual offences matters, victims and rooms are integral part of this package. Why are there still no victims and rooms at SCS units in Gauteng, Free State, KwaZulu-Natal, Northwest Province, and Northwest Provinces? What are your plans for the victim friends and rooms at SCS units in these areas?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The response to the question is that some of the FCS units are permanently placed at wherever they are placed because they were just reestablishing the location level. So, supply chain management is still in the process of finding a suitable accommodation for them. Alternatively, they use the victim friendly facilities that are placed at the point.
So, how are they assisted?
Like I indicated, alternatively, they use the victim friendly facilities that are placed at the police station. That's how they are working. But still, supply chain management is in the process of finding out where it will be budgeted for.
Oh.
But I went over to supply chain management.
Yes. To your honorable chair, the Vision Supply Chain from a Demand Perspective. For the 2013-2014 financial year, we've received from Division Policing a budget of 11 million and we worked out 22 victim friendlies. We placed into the 9 provinces. The breakdown is as follows: for KZN, 4, Limpopo, 2, Mpumalanga, 4, Northern Cape,
4, Eastern Cape 2, Northwest 1. This is a multi-year plan that goes up until 2017. For this financial year, all out of the 22, we were already placed 14 orders. 8 is to be placed. We have put in a 3-year term contract for countrywide provision of victim-friendly units, just to assist our communities. Because when it comes to permanent buildings, it takes longer. But we need to address the immediate need. The long term will be then, obviously, to put a full structure. That's what we have from a demand perspective of the supply chain management process.
I understand three things. And it will only be done on new police stations, or where alterations are taking place, permanent structure. But most of these will be, I take it, like prefabricated. So she said, what sort of steps are we going to put for these different things?
Thank you to your honourable. Yes, sir, it is a park home that is fully equipped with, connected to ablution facilities, water, electricity, and to a sewage system. Also, which is then accessible to the community, also then to honour even the privacy. So it is like a office accommodation that can cater them for the needs for the victim friendly companies.
What in the opinion of SAPS is the cause of the increment of domestic violence? Is SAP working with some research organization which I believe this case really needs a proper research and proper analysis, and findings must come and indicate to, you know, to the SAPs to say these are the causes, and maybe SAPs can have come, you know, can come with a plan of directly dealing with or even some other structures or some other organization that must deal with the process, then it can be passed over there. Because this is really a concern. I mean, if you take a, you know, daily news, there is not a single day where there is no report of a domestic violence to women. What in the opinion of SAPS, do you think, what is the cause of this?
Honorable Chair, I think it differs from one province to the other, as well as the belief system of those particular individuals within a particular province. One can, looking at it in the positive light, to say that because of the involvement of community policing forums within the communities, where members are being educated to report these cases, because there are some areas where it's like it is given, your husband assaults you, your partner assaults you, it's part and parcel of the relationship, but there's continuous indication to say this is not allowed, this is a contravention of the law. The issues were in the villages, there are some villages, more especially in the northwest environment, where you will find that if there's been an assault of that particular nature, the matter will be taken to the chief and be resolved there. Not necessarily only assault, even some incidents of rape or sexual harassment. Now, I think the reason why we see the escalation also is the fact that members are being informed that these are crimes that need to be reported to the police. As I indicated, a kind of a big subjective, because I'm within the organization, I cannot really talk about, probably the researchers from outside can be, you know, more vocal about issues that they highlight, that this might be the reason why this is happening.
Yes.
Maybe just an extension of the same question. I don't know whether SAPS has not found it necessary to build up research capacity, you know, to research this kind of, you know. For instance, from just a cursory study of newspaper, looking at newspaper, it appears that there is an increase in cases of domestic violence, sexual violence. And there was even, I think, somebody, a member of somebody, said that there is a rape every 2 seconds or something like that. No, but because there is no real research that has been done on this, it is very difficult to understand what it is. So, you know, at this stage, even now, that SAPS does not currently have dedicated capacity for research. Yes, that's what it says on this.
Can I just add on that? Because I see that it's, a recommendation to say that improve or if you or there's a need for you to start doing research on that. One of the things that I've noted here to say that record keeping is one element that you cannot do away with in terms of good governance. And it seems like continuously you don't have good record keeping because of your statistics are not accurate and in some instances you then say it's not possible. When money is spent, there should be accountability. It's a requirement here, here's a name.
What are you talking about? It's actually to understand. You know, sometimes you get newspapers, you get information, you're not doing research. You know, you're just seeing maybe more and more cases of rape and domestic violence and so on are being reported. So you're not sure whether there are more cases now, or it's just more cases being reported, or whether the incidents of rape and so on are increasing or what. So, but I think the necessity for the SAPS to be able to say that there is an increased incident of domestic violence and to understand why, or whether it's just more cases being reported. Whereas they have not really increased.
Yes, I think, Honorable Chair, what we have here is what is currently in existence in the class. But we will take note of your recommendation to say we need to look at the capacity thereof. Insofar as these cases are concerned, we've got each and every police station having a crime information officer who can, with certainty, indicate the number of domestic violence cases reported, the number of rape cases reported, and where they were reported, because we've got the geographical information system within our system also that indicates that. During the planning of a crime prevention operation, they look at the crime pattern analysis as well as the crime threat analysis that this very same official provides to the members who draws up an operation to indicate the prevalence of certain crimes at certain times, at certain days, at certain areas. Then the operation is aligned according to that particular one. But I can't really say we really have a dedicated research capacity to then look into this issue of.
Last question. My last question. Alright, let me give you the I think this question said we passed the gender representativity in the SAPs, and it's about 34%, more than a third. But however, while you give a breakdown, you give the actual figures, maybe even for the province. What guarantee is there that there is a woman at every station? Because I'm sure somebody that's been sexually harassed or raped doesn't want to be examined by a male. Because I've noticed a lot of the clustering takes place in the sex. This leads to another question as well. DNA has got to invariably have to be taken, a sample, and sent away. How is that done effectively? Especially in remote places, and is a record kept of all the any DNA samples taken and sent off? How is that proceeded?
Thank you, Chief Minister. To respond to the question, it's like we indicated we have just to deal with this issue. victim enters the police station to report the case, she will find a female police officer. If that female police officer is not trained in line with that, they will take that particular person to a victim friendly room and they call a CSU with members who are well trained in these cases. And we have female members in our own program. So always we have catered for that.
DNA. Responding on the issue of the DNA, we take it as part of evidence being recorded both in the SAC 13 as well as the docket because it must be sent for analysis to the forensic side so that they should be acceptable.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
we still have more questions in writing because we wanted to implement the Domestic Violence Act correctly. It's a point that is like within your unit, so you must start trying to accommodate it. And the accountability and statistics and all that, those things you can improve on them, including the budget to check. So we'll let you go. You're free to go now.
our presentation. I'm going to start on page 4, on slide number 4 of the presentation, which is just an introductory slide that actually indicates as to the international obligation that as a country and also DOJ is responsible for implementation, and also the national obligation that we are also responsible for implementation. And the most relevant relating to the questions that we received, of course, it is the Constitution and the Criminal Law, Sexual Offences and Related Matters, Amendment Act, and the Domestic Violence Act. In slide number 5, we have also enumerated the governance structures that our department participates in matters relating to the implementation of the two legislation. And when you look at that slide, you will see that South Africa is really progressing, because there is an increase in terms of the participation of the political structures and also the accountability that is attached to them. We have the National Council on GBV, which our department is also participating in, and there is also the Interministerial Council on the Root Causes of Violence Against Women, which is chaired by the Minister of Social Development, and our department is also participating in that one. And there is also the ministerial committee that our minister established to investigate the viability of the re-establishment of the Sexual Offences Court. And we also have pieces of legislation that also establish committees that are responsible for monitoring the implementation of the Domestic Violence Act and the Sexual Offences legislation. And two of these committees are chaired by our Director General. In the next slide, there we are just giving a depiction of the service delivery points of the Department of Justice, and ours are mainly the main service delivery points. We consider them as the courts that we have, but the ones that are of relevance to the questions that we received are the regional courts. Regional courts, we have 248 main regional courts, but then we also have the circuit courts. And the total, if you combine the regional courts and the circuit courts, there are 567. And we also have the district courts that are 476, and they deal with criminal matters and also with civil matters. In the area of civil matters, our district courts deal with the domestic violence applications for protection order. And the rest are other service points that we have. And in all of these service points, as the 31st March 2013, we had a total of about 18,000 staff operating in all those courts. Then in terms of how many staff members do we have that are dealing with domestic violence and sexual offences matters, in slide number 7, we are reflecting there that in terms of the court clerks that we have, they are both operating in domestic violence matters and also sexual offences matters in all courts, and they are totaling 4,894. And we also have the e-scheduler clerks. These are the ones that are responsible for making entries into our integrated case management system. so as to ensure that we have an information management system in terms of sexual offences matters and also domestic violence matters. So we have 335 that are feeding these courts. And we also have the stenographers that are responsible for ensuring that the information in the courts is recorded properly. And we also have the district magistrates who are 1,273, and also the intermediaries that total 164. The intermediaries are the ones, 164 relates to the number of intermediaries that are appointed by the Department of Justice, but we do have others that are operating from DSP, and we also have the regional magistrates that total 352. And these are all dealing with both domestic violence and sexual offences matters. The next slide then shows here the clear, it's a list of all the intermediaries that we have hired since 2010. In Eastern Cape, it shows that the numbers, but the first column shows that it relates to the intermediaries that are hired by the department. And the next column, it shows the ad hoc intermediaries that are also paid by the department, but these are the ones that are on standby in case we need them. And then we have also the social workers that also provide the intermediary services, and we have 46 of them in the country. So we have a total of 258 intermediaries, and they are all on level 7. The services of the intermediaries are not limited to sexual offences and domestic violence matters. We also use them in children's court, and we also use them also now in cases that relate to human trafficking. And from the period January 2012 to March 2013, we had the performance of the intermediaries totaling the numbers that are at the bottom. For instance, in sexual offences matters, they served 22.323 victims of sexual violence throughout the country, and the other numbers also show. The sexual offences court that we have, as I assume that the committee already knows, that the sexual offences court that we're operating and established by the NPA since 1993, there was a demise of those courts. There were 74, but immediately after the demise of the sexual offences court, then we saw the new breed of sexual offences court coming in, and these were they were called the dedicated sexual offences court, which were established by the regional court magistrate, regional court president. And so in the country, the dedicated sexual offences, how do they differ from the sexual offences court that were established by the NPA? The sexual offences court that were established by the NPA were dealing exclusively with sexual offences matters. And the dedicated sexual offences court were dealing with, were giving priority to cases of sexual violence. And then after the collapse of that role, they would then deal with other offences like your robbery, murder, and other serious offences that are dealt by the regional court. So that was the difference. So in South Africa, so we had a 512 courts were dealing with sexual offences cases, and out of the 567 courts, the 567 courts include the circuit courts, and we have now after the minister has accepted the report that was compiled by the task team. We have as a department now started a process of establishing the new sexual offences courts that are according to the sexual offences, the new sexual offences court model that the task team established. The new sexual offences court model is an improvement of the blueprint that was developed by the NPA. So we have started with Butterworth. Butterworth is about to be finalized, and our minister will be launching that court on the 23rd of August. And we also have Welcome, Palm Ridge. Palm Ridge has already been established two courtrooms there. They are compliant with the new court model that we are following right now. And then Tuzuma Court has also been upgraded to comply with the new sexual offences court model. And Sibasa is in a process of being finalized. So in total, by the end of September, we will be having six sexual offences courts that are complying with the new sexual offences court model. The task team recommended that there be 57 courts that form part of phase one of the establishment of the sexual offences court. If you see at that slide, 26 of those courts are rural, 7 are semi-urban, and then 24 urban, which we are now starting to upgrade in terms of the sexual offences court model. The next question was relating to the specialized services that we are providing. There are court preparation services in addition to the intermediary services. For sexual offences and domestic violence, we provide intermediary services that I have already related to, and there are court preparation services that are also provided by NPA, but for all victims of sexual violence and also domestic violence. And other services, we provide the sign language whenever it is required, the foreign language interpreters, we also provide them. We, starting from 2011, we started to develop the Braille public education material so that we extend access to justice to court users that are blind, and we are also now developing the audiovisual educational material that we'll be using in our waiting areas. And the ones that we have already developed are for domestic violence and sexual offences, as well as maintenance. The next question was also relating to how many CCTVs, waiting areas, anatomical doors, and all. These are the, we have a task force. We have courts that have 322 CCTVs, one-way mirrors are 98, and the testifying rooms is 220. Now, in terms of the statistics in sexual violence, we have noted from our records that there has been a decline as compared with the previous financial year in sexual offending. If you check the new cases that were recorded in 2011-2012, there were 14,007, and in 2012-2013, we had 10,806. And as well as, so we noticed that there has been a decline in the number of cases on sexual violence. And when you look at the new cases that have been registered, we have made a comparison between 2011 and 2012, and we have also come up with the highest courts that have a sexual violence, and that it is in slide number 19. If you look at slide number 19, you will see that the top three provinces that have the highest rate of offending in sexual violence, it is Gauteng, and followed by Eastern Cape and KZN. And in domestic violence, we have Gauteng as the top province, and we have Western Cape as the second, and KZN as the third province. This has been compared in terms of the new cases that have been registered per annum. We have also been asked to release the budget that we have set aside for the implementation of these pieces of legislation. For the 22, in this financial year, we have set aside budget for 22 sexual offences courts that we will be upgrading. We are not starting from scratch. We are upgrading the dedicated sexual offences courts that have been operating. And a sum of 22 million has been set aside. And for other sexual offences services like the intermediary training and all, there is a 7 million for that. And for victim support services, this is CARA budget. So the total of this amount, it is for 2013 to 2015, because CARA budget is allocated for 3 years. But that's the total at the end of the budget that we have for the period 2013 to 2015. We were also asked to make reference to the research studies that we have made in the implementation of the two pieces of legislation. So in domestic violence, there's a research that we did last year, and it was a study aimed at determining, we were actually responding to the study that was done, which disclosed that South Africa is one of the countries that has the highest rate of intimate femicide. So then we realized as a department that what it means is that it's either of the two. One, that we are, as government, we are failing to reduce the incidence of domestic violence after it has occurred. And two, we are failing to prevent domestic violence. So then we did a study so as to check as to what is making us to fail in preventing domestic violence. And after that study was done, then a national strategy on prevention of domestic violence was developed. It is now at an adoption stage. We also did the situational analysis on the management of criminal cases on involving the LGBTI persons. We did that study when we realized that we do not have a system in our courts that assists us to capture cases that involve the LGBTI person. So that situational analysis actually assisted us to determine as to how we could identify cases that involve persons, the LGBTI persons. We also did a study on the viability of using the cell phone game on sexual offences to educate adolescents. We realized that there's an increase in the pregnancy of young kids, the adolescents. And then we had to find a way of reaching them and educating them. So we did a study, which was on a cell phone, as to how we could be using a cell phone to reach out to children. And it actually showed a lot of interest in them that they could actually learn. We gave them information using a cell phone and using it as a game. And through that game, they were able then to learn their rights in terms of the legislation on sexual violence. And the other studies are those, the ones that I think that has been on news a number of times, the feasibility study on the re-establishment of the sexual offences court, which we did 4 studies there. and also we did one for intermediary, and we also did the national resource audit in all regional courts, so as to determine as to how much will it cost the country to re-establish the sexual offences court, and we did one on the use of the anatomically correct dolls. With that one, we came up with a policy, which is in our report as to how one could use the anatomically correct dolls, and also on the specialized services on victim support. And the next slide also shows a number of research interventions that are aligned up for this financial year. In the next slide, this one, it just shows here the findings that were made by the task team after investigating the viability of re-establishing sexual offences court. But what came out prominently on the findings was that South Africa is still in the forefront of the developments with respect to the specialised sexual offences court that adopt a victim-centred approach. And we also learned that these courts were actually succeeding to ensure that we have a victim-centered approach in our courts that is prompt, responsive, and effective. Hence, then, the task team recommended to the minister that these courts be re-established. The challenges that were also highlighted by the report was that the reason for the demise of these courts was, one of them was the fact that there was no enabling provision for the establishment of the sexual offences courts, and secondly, it was also because of the fact that there was no proper consultative process between the stakeholders, and thirdly, it was because of the uncoordinated specialized dedicated support services that are being provided. The task team then recommended that the sexual offences court be re-established, and it also recommended that we also have some kind of the sexual offences courts and the hybrid sexual offences courts will also be established. Those, it recommended that they be established in areas where there is low offending rate in sexual violence. In other words, where the court cannot have a court role or a number of cases on sexual violence that can sustain a court role for the whole day. And also in courts where they do not have enough space to accommodate all the features of the sexual offences court model. Moving on, in the slides on capacity building, this is responding to the question as to what is it that the department has done to ensure that, what other services that we have done to ensure that we improve the implementation of the two pieces of legislation. This, every year we provide training, and this is the training that we provided, especially on sexual offences. But here, what is different about the previous year is that we also introduced the debriefing program for the first time for the magistrates and the intermediaries. This we were testing, as we knew that there might be a possibility of us re-establishing the sexual offences court. So we wanted, therefore, to start developing this debriefing program and testing it in preparation for the re-establishment of this court. We also did public education, and these are all the activities that we did. And last year, we were focusing on schools mostly, and because of the high rate of pregnancy that has been reported
by media and also the sexual violence that has been experienced by children. So we focus a lot on schools, and this is then the list of all the public education that we did. We also did the door-to-door campaign against rape and gender-based violence, and this we did it in 80 communities. And in all of our public education intervention, we managed to reach a total of about 134,407 people. The next are just the pictures of our door-to-door campaign. And the next one is one of our public education. Legal services, there is also a question on what legal services that the department, how many victims of domestic violence and sexual offenses have been provided with support in the last financial year. So the Legal Aid South Africa, last year, they were able to provide legal services to a total of 2,239 victims of domestic violence. And the monetary value thereof, as it is the next question there, it totaled to 9 million, it's 9.7 million. And that is calculated at an average cost of 4,372.66 per case. In terms of sexual offences, we do not provide legal aid services because the prosecutor is already there to provide those services to the victim of sexual offences. The next question related to NRSO. We have not dealt with question number 12 because we felt that it relates to SARP. And then we moved to number 13, the one that deals with sexual offenders register, as to how many cases that have been registered thus far. The total number is, we just want to apologize now, it is, from our presentation, it is 2,814, but this number is as at 31st March 2013. So right now, the NRSO, who's sitting next to me, is giving me the update of the, adding the first quarter. And now the number, if we add the first quarter of this financial year, will total 3,753. It's 3,753. We apologize for that. And the NRSO also conducted a public education campaign at 39 schools in Limpopo. Limpopo was targeted because it was one of the provinces where it was reported that there was a high rate of teenage pregnancies, and they reach a total of 16,250 children. They also publish four information charts in national newspapers to educate the public on NRSO general information, obligations of the employers on how to obtain the clearance certificate, and also releasing the NRSO process map and also information relating to the expungement. The NRSO currently is also involved in the process of merging the two registers, that is the Child Protection Register with the NRSO. We are in a process, it's a process that is led by DOJ working with DSD to ensure that we have one register now in terms of two registers. In terms of our law, case law, these are the decisions that actually changed law in the previous year. And in bullet number 3, we are now in a process of amending the sexual offences legislation to include a provision that will enable our minister to designate sexual offences courts. That bill now is before the portfolio committee. It is a portfolio committee bill. And we are also now in a process of identifying the provisions from two pieces of legislation, that is from the Children's Court and the Children's Act, and also from the sexual offences legislation, the provisions that will need to be amended when we merge the two registers. The Domestic Violence Act, last year, we were working so hard with the South African Law Reform Commission on the provisions that need to be amended. So this work is still before the South African Law Commission. The last slide now related to the limitations that we have in terms of implementing this legislation. First, in terms of the NRSO, we are still struggling to have the interface of the information system between DOJ SAPS and DOH and DCS, but then IJS is in a process of working, of ensuring that there is an interface in the intersectoral, in our information systems that we are using. There is also lack of adequate funds to finalize the establishment of the NRSO, and now we are hoping that with the measure we will be able therefore to cut down the funds that we cannot accommodate right now. There is also that one I've already mentioned, that we are also amending the bill right now, amending the sexual offences legislation to ensure that it provides a provision for the minister to designate the sexual offences court. The other one, we also have a challenge which we are working on, and it is a matter that has been recommended by the task team, that we look at all the victim support services and look at how we could merge all of them. So we are looking at starting an investigation into the possible measure of the Kuseleka one-stop centers, the TCCs, and also the FCS, so as to ensure that we have one support, we have a comprehensive victim support service center that will be feeding our sexual offences court. And also, we need to improve our prevention on domestic violence. Hence, then the department decided to look into the prevention strategy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The approach for this presentation is that the same question, of which even the presentation is not responding most of the questions, the bulk of the questions that I get. We want you to, in writing, before the end of business tomorrow, respond to the questions that you have sent to yourself. We give you ample time to do that. So that makes you very much to be having that. And if you had had problems, you could have informed us not on the eve of the meeting, but you could have informed us long time to say that we are encountering problems in responding to your questions. So most questions are related to budget for gender-based violence in each program. So I think we still have a question. We're not going to engage there because we just take it as information sharing. We still want the response to the question that we sent to the person in writing before end of the meeting.
No, just quickly two questions. The domestic violence register, thanks to the department on the presentation, there used to be two registers. Is there now only one register for it? And at one stage it only had 200 names on there after all these years. Now you said it's 2,000 or 3,000 names. Is that you say up to date at the end of last year?
Yes, it includes, the figure includes the first quarter of this financial year. That is the...
I want it from page 15. I don't understand this. 2012, we were, if I have a look at the figures, we were stuck off road, 914. Not guilty, 624. Withdrawn cases withdrawn, 110. That makes it about 1,700 odd cases, but only 51 people were found, 51 offenders were found guilty. Is that correct?
The ones who were found guilty is 4,699.
On page 15, the
yes.
2012 figures there, 51 guilty, 624 not guilty, 940 struck as well, and 110 cases
okay.
withdrawn.
There is a 4,000 that is on top. It's 4,051. And in 2012-13, it's
4,699. Sorry, okay. So the two above is, should be two. And there's 16,180 cases disposed of. What does that mean? Struck off the roll. Because often going from the police to justice department, there's a cleansing of the roll. They take a lot so that the cases that are going to court are the reasonably serious cases, and the roles get overloaded. So there's 16,000 cases disposed of, or 16,000 cases disposed of.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the question.
I see these cases disposed of.
Yes.
16,180.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that mean, disposed of?
Okay, the cases that have been disposed, they also include the cases struck off the roll. And also the cases that have been finalized with the verdict. The ones that have been finalized with the verdict are the ones, the guilty and not guilty cases.
Gender Equality Amendment Bill, respectively.